This morning's scripture comes from Paul's second letter to the church in Corinth in the 8th chapter. Paul is writing to the Corinthians, Gentiles, to participate in a collection of money for the church in Jerusalem, which is predominantly populated by Jewish Christians. So he's trying to bridge the gap between Jews and Gentiles among those who follow Jesus. Now, as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in utmost eagerness, and in our love for you, so we want you to excel also in this generous undertaking. I do not say this as a command, for I am testing the genuineness of your love against the earnestness of others. For you know the generous act of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich. And in this matter, I am giving my advice. It is appropriate for you who began last year not only to do something, but even to desire to do something. Now finish doing it, so that your eagerness may be matched by completing it according to your means. For if the eagerness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. I do not mean that there should be relief for others and pressure on you, but it is a question of fair balance between your present abundance and their need, so that their abundance may be for your need, in order that there may be a fair balance. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us, thanks be to God. Abundance has become a watchword for some New Age-ish groups who think that it has to do with manifesting wealth, or that if you're thinking very clearly and correctly and have made financial gain your objective, it will simply happen. Unless, of course, you live in Carbon, West Virginia, or Zimbabwe, or Bangladesh, or if you're a woman in Saudi Arabia, or a black farmhand in Louisiana, or living on the Navajo Reservation. That is a misapprehension of the word abundance, and not what Paul is talking about, and it's not what I'm going to refer to today. Abundance is about having enough, not about oversupply. And God provides abundance. It's all a matter of whether or not we humans can learn how to share it with one another. Much of what we perceive about God's abundance, specifically what God has entrusted to us, comes from our family and personal history. The attitudes of our families of origin plays a large part in the way that we ourselves think about money, time, and abundance. My dad was born in 1920. I had older parents, and he lived through the Great Depression. His father died suddenly in 1933, leaving my grandmother with six children to feed, house, and clothe. She worked for the telephone company and owned a duplex, so she had a bit of money from renting the other half of their home. But I imagine that their financial situation after my grandfather's death was precarious at best. After graduating from high school, my dad became a professional jazz musician and traveled with a big band in the late 30s. And when World War II was on the horizon in 1941, he enlisted and eventually became a B-17 pilot. Coming home from the war as an officer, He probably felt as though he had a bit of real money for the first time. And like many of his generation, he went to college on the GI Bill, started a career, bought a home, raised a family. It was a world of possibility. There were financial ups and downs along the way for my parents. But one of the messages that I got from my dad was that money is a tool to be used rather than an end in itself. My parents were also very generous with the church, both with their time and with their money. And as part of the greatest generation, my dad had an optimistic outlook that things were going to get better, because they almost always had, in ways that I probably don't fully understand. My father's experience of abundance, surviving the Great Depression, becoming a professional musician and officer, going to Marietta College, founded by Congregationalists, by the way, going to grad school at Duke, becoming a marketing executive, all informs some of my attitudes about abundance. His optimism is often alive and well in me. So how about you? How did your family's experience with poverty or wealth or having just enough telegraph its way into your life? Do you see patterns or attitudes about abundance that are expressions of your parents' experience, or even of your grandparents' experience? Whether we sense that we have much or we have little depends largely on our perspective. Some folks might feel as though they are just barely making it on $100,000 a year, while others can't imagine what they would do with all that money. It also depends on what kind of societal messages we've internalized. Many of the advertisements we see are geared to make us think that we don't just want a product, but that we need it, and sometimes that we are inadequate if we don't have it. I think it's hard to imagine the impact of advertising on our children, who start seeing ads on television and on all of their other screens from the time they're quite young. Advertising is incredibly pervasive, and many of its messages are antithetical to the idea of God's abundance. Many years ago, I was traveling in West Africa, and our bus stopped outside of a village in Senegal. And some of us had a bag of those little fun-size candy bars, which we shared with some of the local kids. Now, most American children would likely have scrambled to take the candy and eat it, but not the kids in this village. They gathered around while one of the children divided the tiny candy bar so that everyone could have some. That was many years ago, but it really stuck with me, because those kids who had so little also had a sense of abundance, that there would be enough to share around with everyone. Their culture focused on us and ours rather than just me and mine. They had a surprising attitude of abundance. Paul is writing to the church in Corinth in this chapter of his letter, describing for them the generosity of the churches, the other Gentile churches in Macedonia, who have given generously for support of the church in Jerusalem. And he's encouraging generosity among all of the churches for their mutual support. He opens the chapter writing about the grace of God that has been granted to the churches in Macedonia. For during a severe ordeal of affliction, their abundant joy and extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. Does that sentence sound a bit off to you? Linking abundant joy and extreme poverty? I think that what Paul is getting at is what those kids in Senegal knew. That if we're in this together, even when we're experiencing poverty, we can be joyful together. But the Macedonians apparently push one step further in experiencing a wealth of generosity to share with the church in Jerusalem. Paul writes to the Corinthians that it is a question of fair balance between your present abundance and their need, so that their abundance may be for your need. You know, you'd think that Paul had never heard of laissez-faire capitalism. I want to let you know that this congregation is much like one of the generous churches in Macedonia. We are giving out of our abundance. Throughout this pandemic, you have continued to support not only Plymouth, but the wider church and the broader community as well. This year in our budget, we're committing $44,000 to our church's wider mission. That's the program that supports our conference, the national setting of the church, and our global mission and national justice ministries. Even though we don't have the largest budget among the churches of the Rocky Mountain Conference, we give more than any other congregation. And I don't say that to disparage them, but rather to thank you and to encourage you. Thanks to your sense of abundance, we at Plymouth are in a position to be generous in supporting the other churches of the Rocky Mountain Conference, the churches of the United Church of Christ, and our global mission. Even in the midst of pandemic shutdown, you have continued to sense God's abundance rather than to give way to the fear of scarcity. We even used some income from our endowment to provide video recording equipment to congregations that are too small to afford it otherwise. So that's how they're broadcasting their Sunday worship. And I give thanks for your generosity. You know, each morning I sit outside, well, when the weather is good, I sit outside with my prayer beads and offer the lines of some Celtic prayers that I've collected and adapted. And recently, I've done something additional with my prayer beads. You know, I offer the 28 lines of prayer, but then I go around the prayer beads again and give thanks to God for 28 things or places or people for whom I am grateful. It's much like a gratitude list, but I also remember to thank God, who is the giver of it all. On Wednesday morning, I noticed a profusion of growth and color in our backyard. The sun was peeking through the branches of an aspen tree. Bougainvillea blossoms have become deeper red in the sun. Small yellow blossoms that will turn into tomatoes that we'll enjoy later this summer. The pink peonies that came from Jane Ann's family home. The bushy basil destined to become a large batch of pesto. The verdant mixed greens that will find their way to our dinner table. tiny green apples beginning to populate our trees. Purple flowers that will turn into Japanese eggplant. And lavender that sweetens the air. The abundance of God is everywhere if we just take a moment to see it and to experience it. It is there in new life and in baptism. It is there in our return from pandemic exile. It is there in the long days of summer. My invitation to you this week is to spend a few minutes on a walk outdoors, or sitting on a park bench, or even just looking out the window, and simply soak in God's abundance and give thanks. I also invite you to make a gratitude list of the people and things and places that God has brought into your life that give you a deep sense of joy, and to offer a prayer of thanksgiving for them. God's abundance is there for us to enjoy, to give thanks for, and to share. May you become ever more aware of the abundance that God has brought into your life. Amen.